Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Our guest today is Bill Mahoney, Legislative Operations and Research Coordinator for the New York Public Interest Research Group. Bill Mahoney, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, Bill, I remember when NYPERG was one kid sitting under a light bulb scratching his head. It's really quite a big organization now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we've got offices at about 20 different college campuses throughout the state, as well as offices in both Albany and New York City. So yeah, we've certainly expanded since the 70s.
And so NYPERG is the New York Public Interest Research Group.
Yes.
It is one of the more advanced groups in terms of rooting out government corruption and looking out for the interests of not only the taxpayers, but for good people who want a government that is responsive. So let's get into it. The latest report from you guys is on lobbyist roles in funding New York elections. What's that about?
Sure. Well, most people have always suspected that lobbyists play a big role in funding the campaigns of our elected officials. They try to exert their influence through writing them checks. We decided to take a closer look at that and see just exactly how much money they were given. Over the past year, in 2011, it turns out they gave $1.8 million directly to candidates in the state, which is a lot of money. That makes up about 4% of the total money raised by all of the elected officials.
That sounds kind of cheap, to tell you the truth. It doesn't sound like a lot of money to me.
Overall, that's not a ton, but there's also other money we looked at where these lobbyists are often responsible for bundling contributions from their clients.
Mm-hmm.
If one lobbyist represents maybe 20 different clients in the state, they will oftentimes show up to a fundraiser not writing a check themselves, but by bringing checks from these clients, thereby making their voice louder. So we decided to take a look at that as well, to look at one specific firm, Featherston Hall Wiley & Klein, and we found that they gave over $1.5 million if you include the contributions which came from their clients. So this one firm alone, which wasn't even one of the top firms in Albany last year, made up a huge share, about 3% of the total money raised by all candidates. And keep in mind, we've got over 100 other firms out there running around doing the same thing.
So is the government for hire? In other words, can you buy a state legislator?
You can certainly buy access to a state legislator.
I've always had big objections to that word. I mean, the lobbyists always say, well, we get access, but we can't buy anything. But access is buying something, isn't it?
It's certainly a way to make your voice louder than an ordinary citizen can. We saw just a couple of weeks ago the story with Governor Cuomo, where one of the donors to the Committee to Save New York, which is a group closely allied with him, they showed up to a fundraiser of his, and by showing up to the fundraiser, they were able to sit down and show a PowerPoint presentation to the governor and make their voice heard directly in one-on-one contact at a level that people normally can't.
Well, maybe you could give us a little bit more background, because that was a hell of a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Committee to Save New York, if you've turned on a TV over the past year and a half, you've almost certainly seen ads from them talking about how great everything Governor Cuomo is doing. They've been supporting his budgets, they've been supporting his tax proposals, and pretty much everything he's done. For most of this time, the governor's denied a direct link with them. He said they're just out there doing this on their own. But the most stunning part of this story was a revelation that he was actually directing lobbyists and their clients to give money to this group. So at the very least, this shows that he's very comfortable with the way that this committee's been acting and the way that they've been spending tons of money to drown out everybody else in the state.
Bill, let me get this straight. You're telling me that Andrew Cuomo, we all knew this was the case, and his group set up this committee to save New York. Is that true?
It's unclear if he directly decided to get people together in a room, but based on what we've seen, it's certainly becoming more likely that this is the case, that he played a role in helping them get out there and make his voice and help defeat the voice of anybody who might oppose his plans.
So this is something a little new. In other words, we're used to people giving money for campaigns, but this is an ongoing campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly a huge departure from what we've seen in the past. For most of the past decade or longer, the largest spending lobby groups have been those who are working against the governor. You'll see during budget season every year that there's TV commercials and radio commercials and everything else where people are saying, don't support the governor's budget. If you do, kids will be thrown out of school and healthcare will be cut. Hospitals will close. But this year, the vast majority of the ads were supporting everything the governor was doing.
Well, you can fool some of the people some of the time, as the old saying goes. He's got a 70-72% approval rating.
It certainly helps when his face is constantly on TV, surrounded by ads talking about how great his plans for New York are and how this is going to completely change the Empire State. Without a doubt, that's helped his approval rating more than any traditional lobbying or campaign contributions could.
Well, Bill Mahoney, you went to college, didn't you?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
I went to Canisius College out in Buffalo, and I'm currently working on a PhD at SUNY Albany.
So let me ask you this. Are you ever scared in the middle of the night that this guy who has a reputation for getting angry at people will come after you?
I don't think he'll directly knock down my door or anything like that. I'm sure the fact that we talk about the role that money plays in his campaign, he's probably not happy with us. I'm not physically concerned about a threat from him, no.
Well, physically or you know, one has careers, one has to go somewhere. What makes you think that if you've been around long enough, learn the game, that you won't sell out too?
I don't have any plans to at the future.
No one ever has any plans to.
I don't have a strong desire to do anything beyond working in the public interest or academia. So I couldn't say for sure what I'll feel 30 years down the road, but I don't see any reason why I should change.
Well, it's great to have a young person's perspective on this. You know, somebody goes to the legislature, they kiss their kid goodbye, and Timmy looks up at Papa and says, "Why are you going to the legislature?" "I'm going to do good, Timmy." But he gets there, and all of a sudden, the very things you're talking about begin to look pretty good. You want to get along, go along.
Well, certainly once you're in the office, you start working immediately the day after your election to get reelected. And that does mean that a lot of legislators with great intents often are forced to go to fundraisers nonstop and immerse themselves completely into the culture which they once rebelled against. They'll see that if they speak up too loudly and criticize the legislative leaders, their office might be in some closet somewhere with one intern rather than any full-time staff. And there certainly is a lot of pressure to play by the rules once you do serve as an elected official.
Well, Bill Mahoney, it has been said that lobbyists are the handmaidens for, you know, special interests. What does that mean?
Well, they work on behalf of their clients, and they help deliver the message for whoever is willing to pay them money to do so. Many of those groups and the clients are good. I think most people would look at the list of who spends the most money and people would say, "Oh, I shop there," or "I support that union." But it becomes an issue when only the groups which are willing to spend the most money, those become the only groups which are able to make their voice heard and get their agenda passed in Albany. If you're not willing to spend money on a lobbyist or to get access to legislators through campaign contributions, you probably won't be nearly as successful as groups who are spending millions of dollars to tell them to do something which you might not like.
Now, Bill, there's a Supreme Court case which has bothered a lot of people called Citizens United, which declares that corporations are people and therefore you can spend basically unlimited amounts of money. Have we seen the repercussions of that here in New York State?
At the state level, it's almost always been the case where corporations could put money into a super PAC if they so chose. We never saw many examples of that, but we do have some concerns that now that some of these might be setting up groups to create ads for them and run campaigns at a national level, it would be pretty simple for them to just turn that mechanism over and start running ads and getting involved in state races. So right now, we're focusing on getting all the disclosure for this we can. There's really no disclosure at the state level right now for how these groups will be spending their money. So before the next gubernatorial election, at the very least, we hope this gets straightened out and people can see who's funding the ads, which might dominate the airwaves.
Now, Governor Cuomo announced that he wanted to set up one of the great casinos in New York State and would be out there by Aqueduct. There was a gaming company that apparently put some money into his campaign in other places.
Yeah, well, they helped him out largely through the Committee to Save New York, the group we were discussing earlier, who is running these outside independent supposedly ads to further his agenda. And he directly referred them to this committee to give them $2 million to run ads to support everything they were doing, thereby helping him, helping his popularity ratings, and making the gaming associations be seen more favorably in his eyes, presumably.
Let me talk to you about something entirely different, or maybe not so different, and that's hydrofracking.
Yes.
First of all, what is it?
It's a process to extract natural gas from shale and various parts of the state. It's not something I work with too closely myself. NYPERG does oppose hydrofracking, but it's not something I'm directly involved in. Though I have, from my point of view as a good government person, looked at the money behind this, and we have seen that despite the fact that there's a lot of evidence against the benefits of this and potential for environmental damage, many of these groups who want to frack in New York State are spending millions of dollars lobbying to get the permission to do so.
Well, you know, Bill Mahoney, it looked to me from the very beginning like this governor was very interested in getting hydrofracking through. I have a number of potential theories about why this happened. I think he wants to run for president, and I think if he runs for president, he wants to make the argument he did energy. And yet, in one of the great examples of American democracy, while it still lasts, a lot of people came out and issued their opposition, statements of their opposition. Recently, the governor came out and said just a couple of counties, as opposed to all the counties in New York State being allowed to do hydrofracking, and there only when the counties wanted to. But I'm a little concerned about this because, as you may or may not know, my position has always been, okay, frack if it's safe, but it is not safe, according to an awful lot of people. And we could get ourselves into a lot of trouble by poisoning our water supplies. So what do you make of all that?
Yeah, we don't believe that you should frack anywhere or use these counties as kind of a test for the rest of the state. It's really not fair to the people who live there and appreciate clean drinking water maybe more than the couple extra dollars they'll get from having an oil rig in their backyard. So we are not supporting this proposal, which was recently unveiled, which Governor Cuomo hasn't officially announced yet, but all the signs are indicating that he's very much in favor of allowing fracking in certain parts of the state by the southern tier, and that this could lead to environmental disasters like we've seen in Pennsylvania and other states which have gone through and done the same thing.
Well, to me, you're a young person. How old are you anyway?
28.
You're young, a 28-year-old. You may have a kid soon, and would you want your kid to have water that might be tainted by benzene?
I don't think anybody would want their kids to have that. And even if there are some legislators who reside in the counties that are going to allow fracking and that say that we should let this go forward, there's still going to be thousands and thousands of other residents who aren't going to want this and shouldn't be subjected to these chemicals in their drinking water just because a few people want to make a quick buck.
Let's talk a little bit about J-COPE.
Sure.
Some people call it
J-JOKE is what they've been referred to lately.
What is it?
It's the new Ethics Commission, which was created by Governor Cuomo's Ethics Reform Bill last year. They're going to handle both ethics for elected officials in the state, as well as handling all the registration of lobbyists and the information which they need to disclose. They officially got started earlier this year, and they have been off to a little bit of a slow start, but hopefully very soon we'll start seeing them get their hands on things, and we'll see more disclosure coming from both people who lobby state government and the elected officials who serve in it.
I would say to you, don't hold your breath. First of all, the composition of J-COPE is very suspicious. Who sits on it?
Right now, it's dominated by the governor. He gets to make most of the picks on there. And the individuals who serve are largely dominated by his choices. And anytime they want, there are safeguards in there to keep it from a governor going after legislators. But that means that the legislators themselves need to approve of any investigation before they get investigated. So that is a problem.
It doesn't sound too hot.
It doesn't sound great, but we're still giving them the benefit of the doubt for now, just to see how they've only been up and running for a few months. So hopefully we will see very soon some reason to be optimistic about how they work going forward.
I tend to approach things a little bit differently, quite the other way, which is, you know, I don't like the way it's been set up. I think the legislators, as you say, having sort of a veto. And then there's something else on that thing. Didn't I read somewhere that the Republican majority in the state Senate, Dean Skelos being the head guy, will be allowed, even if they lose their majority, will be allowed to still have the majority of the picks from the Senate over who sits in J-COPE. Is that right?
That is a case. There are some benefits to it to guarantee that this doesn't become a complete partisan imbalance where one political party can dominate the commission going forward. That could lead to witch hunts or unfair political investigations.
But this way it could lead. You're sounding like the conservative now. Let me say this. The other side of that would be that if that doesn't happen, there could be a real danger that nothing will ever happen.
It's true, but we have to see how they work going forward. The ethics bill which passed last year gave them great opportunities to require unprecedented disclosure from both elected officials who are now going to have to disclose how much they make in outside income and lobbyists who are going to have to disclose who give them money to go out and do their work.
Why do they call it J-JOKE?
As of now, they've had a few growing pains, to say the least. Some of the forms were required to be up and running by June 1st so we could start seeing who pays groups which run advocacy campaigns in the state.
They're now, like the one you were talking about, the governor's campaigns.
They're now a couple weeks late, so I think that's given a lot of resentment to people who are very hopeful that this would work perfectly without any hitches. But hopefully we will see something by the end of the month, and this will be a level of disclosure which will make everybody happy with the way that the bill worked from last year.
Well, let me put it this way. Everybody is a strong word, because in my case, it's going to take a lot more than a couple of disclosure forms to make me feel that this isn't more than window dressing.
True, but this is a great step, a great first step, which they could take in the very near future to make us confident that they can get at least something done. And they will have more opportunities over the next few months to begin looking into charges that have been made against both elected officials and other people who serve in state government. And we should have a good idea fairly soon if they are the real deal or if this is going to be just another problematic ethics commission, which should be scrapped.
I'd like to put a few dollars on the problematic ethics commission. Let's go to a different place, and that is redistricting. You know,
sure. Of
all the things that have made me crazy over the years, this is right at the top. The idea that the leaders of each legislative house would be able to draw their own districts seems to me to be as opposed to a concept of democracy as we could have. And the governor said he would veto the bill. I will veto that bill. He said it over and over and over again. But he didn't do it. The Republican majority is hard at work based on the fact that they have drawn the lines to their own benefit. We send kids, for God's sakes, abroad to fight for democracy. What's this all about?
Yeah, we were disappointed with the way the redistricting battle turned out earlier this year. Governor Cuomo, as you mentioned, did promise to veto any lines which came out of the legislature. Ultimately, he accepted them and signed them into law. There was also a supposed reform bill which accompanied it, which would correct the process going forward starting in 2022. But we don't believe that bill will work too well. It's still going to allow legislators to manipulate the districts and cram a lot of people into districts that contain the members of the opposing party. And so I think going forward, unless there are real changes over the next decade, we can expect more of the same for at least until the 2030s at least.
Well, I certainly would agree with you on that. Let's talk a little bit about something that I know affects young people, particularly the people that you represent. I mean, after all, NYPIRG gets a good deal of its money from student groups, and that is loans. Now, the interesting thing to me is that if young people don't turn out to vote in this election, it could well be the difference between Mitt Romney winning and President Obama winning. So how do you stay out of the political thicket while still working on the issue?
Well, we certainly encourage more students to vote and get involved. There are many issues which are impacting them. As you mentioned, student loans is before Congress right now, where if they don't act, the rates could double within just the next few months, putting many of the current students in debt for a decade longer than they are right now. It's going to make life much worse for anybody who hopes to pursue a higher education. But there are great candidates from both parties who have addressed this issue. And I think no matter what political leanings that students are, the more they speak up, the more they can make politicians across the aisle hear their concerns and vote to represent them.
So how do you get them out?
Well, a lot of our work is based on the college campuses, where every year we go out and we fill out thousands and tens of thousands even voter registration forms.
Yeah, but they still don't vote in large enough numbers to make a difference. We know that they start to vote later on when they get their mortgage and all the rest of it. But obviously, there's a lot riding on this election that has to do with students.
Yeah, it is tough to get the students to get out. And one group, even if we increase the voter turnout significantly at each of our college campuses, they probably won't go out to the polls as high as other members of the community. And that's not going to solve the problem nationally. But yes, I think the more the student loan issue and others like this get debated, hopefully we will see higher turnout in this November, since so much of their personal issues are on the table than we have seen in previous election cycles.
So tell me something, Bill Mahoney of NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group. Tell me, when you talk to young people, when NYPIRG talks to young people, do they tell you why they don't vote?
Oftentimes, people don't feel settled in a community. They might be going off to college and just living there for a few years, and they say, I don't want to get involved because I'm only here temporarily. I shouldn't get involved in local politics. But we need to make them aware that everything they do locally will impact them no matter where else they live. even if they don't, even if they move out of the district within a year, whoever they elect to Congress out of the district they're currently living will have a say over what their future looks like.
Well, you know, you give a good intellectual reason why they don't vote. You know, I don't want to vote because I'm in this community. But isn't it just, come on, let's face it, isn't it just lethargy?
It's certainly a part of it, and that's why we're out there. That's one of our key roles, is to get students more involved in the political process and to make them understand why these issues impact them and why they should start getting involved from their age rather than waiting until a decade down the line.
Well, is it working? I mean, you're there, you get the money and all the rest of it from the campuses, but in fact, I don't see any great progress.
The past few years have certainly been tough. I don't know how much tougher it would be if there weren't groups like NYPER getting college students involved. We could have taken several steps backwards, but we just need to keep on going out there and making the case heard that SUNY, CUNY, all the schools throughout the state need to keep on being funded and kept affordable. Otherwise, students will be priced out and we won't have an educated workforce decade or two down the line.
Well, has that happened? I mean, when I went to college, I went to Hunter College in the Bronx, it cost zero. Now kids are paying a lot of money to go, and every time you raise another $100 or $500, some kid who comes from a disadvantaged background isn't able to go. So has NYPER been effective in doing this, or have they been a failure?
We haven't gotten everything we would like, certainly. I don't know if any group ever can claim absolute victory, although we have fought to guarantee that things like TAP and other student education awards are included in the budget every year. We bring hundreds of students from throughout the state to Albany during the budget cycle, and they speak to their elected officials. And oftentimes, you'll see those same elected officials stand up in the matter of days and voice their support to include more money for financial aid in the coming budget. And it's not a complete win, but it does make a difference in helping many of those disadvantaged students continue to go forward.
So in the future for NYPER, Bill Mahoney, as you go forward, what is it you'd like to see them accomplish?
Well, I'd like to see us continue to make more students involved, to continue to make our voices heard, and help educate both college students and the people of New York State. In terms of specific victories, we've got a laundry list on all of our different issues, starting with the environment, as we mentioned. We would like to not see hydrofracking go forward. With government reform, we're currently working on a campaign finance bill, which we will hopefully see in the next year. And SUNY, we've got to make sure they keep on being affordable and that students can continue to go forward. So we've got a lot of different specific legislative goals. Overall.
Now you came on. The first thing you said is that they're all spending all this millions of dollars to go in the other direction from what you just said. How do you deal with that?
It's tough. We've got to make the voices of the people heard, which is never something easy because there's 20 million people out there to talk to. But people at home should start following these issues. If they care about having an equal say before their state legislators, they should start speaking up in favor of campaign finance reform and other issues. Oftentimes we hear from the legislators, oh, this isn't an issue that people in my district care about. I never hear from them about this. But people need to understand that when groups spend this money, this makes them, this disadvantages everybody else because they're not being represented at the same level. So everybody needs to get involved and speak up for them and everybody else in the state.
Now, one way you get some money is from the campuses, but also I've had people from PIRG show up at my door. They get to ask for money too, right?
Yeah, we have a summertime canvas where a number of people, mostly college students from throughout the state, go around and talk about the environment. This year, they're working on the hydrofracking campaign to try to make New Yorkers aware about this issue and get them to oppose this once they fully understand the health consequences that could come from fracking in New York State.
So how do you get those kids to go out there? Do you pay them to do it?
They do get paid. It's a summertime job for most of them. Our canvas runs from May through August, so it overlaps pretty neatly with summer break for most of the schools in the state. So this is a part-time, four-month summer job. And if people are interested, yeah, we are hiring throughout the state.
Our guest has been Bill Mahoney. He is the Legislative Operations and Research Coordinator for the New York Public Interest Research Group. Bill Mahoney, I'm impressed. I'm delighted that you're working as hard as you are on all of this, and we could use a few more like you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.